I won't have you sit down again, at least until after we read Revelation 19 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and that he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here and to open your word with these guys, Lord. We're thankful that they're here, Lord. God, we pray that you would give them exactly what each needs, what each has maybe been struggling with, or different things that are in our lives that we need your help, your fortification in our lives. We pray you would give us that. I pray you give me the right words and thoughts and spirit. God, I pray you would be pleased with this. And God, I pray that the guys would hear your voice today. You know what they're dealing with. You know what they're facing. And God, you can speak to that and give them exactly what they need. I can't do that, Lord. I wish I could. But God, you have all knowledge and all wisdom. And you can help us in the struggles that we have. Give us that grace to face each of our difficulties. And Lord, I pray that you just help us to be more like you today when we leave here and head home later, God, that we'll be challenged to love you more and to serve you more. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can be seated. Thank you for standing once again. All right, we're in the book of the Revelation, right? And a lot of people are kind of scared away, guys, when they get into reading the book of Revelation. They think, oh, man, that's complicated stuff. That's, a lot of stuff way over my head, a lot of prophecy and all this kind of stuff, mysterious. I could never figure all that out. Actually, if you have your Bibles, go to chapter 1 of Revelation. We'll go back to chapter 19, but I want you to see this. A couple things real quick as I read this. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand." It would be very safe for me to say that many people avoid the book of Revelation. Too complicated, as we said, too much mysterious stuff. Man, I can never figure all that out. What does God say, though? He said, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy of this book, and keep those things that are written therein." God puts a special blessing. Listen, anywhere you read in the Bible is great, all right? It's helpful. It's what you need. Like we talked about last week, it's wood on the fire. It will keep you stirred up. It'll keep your faith at a high level. But God gives a special blessing to those that read, hear, and keep or obey this word in the book of Revelation. So guys, don't avoid it. If God gave it to you, it's good for you. It's profitable for you. While you're also in chapter 1, I want you to read, someone if you would, read the first 5 words of verse number 1. Revelation 1:1. Can somebody read that for me? DeMichael, please.
The revelation of Jesus Christ.
Now, we're into the intro here. This book is called the Revelation. Sometimes you'll hear people call it Revelations. That's not the book's name. All right? It is singular. The revelation of who? Of Christ. All right? It is the revelation of a person and a perception. I'll explain that here in a moment. Listen, guys, because throughout time, Jesus, focus in here, Jesus has been shoved aside by the world as unimportant, right? He came into his own received him not. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Guys, when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he's the creator. No one would exist without Jesus. But when he came, they rejected him for the most part, okay? And we think, man, that's awful, that's sad. But he's been shoved aside by the world as unimportant. He was meek and lowly in heart, and the world has disrespected him, mocked him, and mistreated him. Listen, it wasn't just 2,000 years ago. It still happens today. Listen, all throughout the Bible, we have instances of this, and there's prophecies that will continue to happen. For one, he's disrespected, mocked, and mistreated. Luke 19:14, you don't have to turn there, but I want to read this to you. This is a parable, but it's talking about how people would mistreat him. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." You know what most people say in the world? Why should I let Jesus call the shots in my life? Who is he? Why should I do what he says? And by the way, we flip it around to think when we pray that God better do what we want or we're not going to believe in him anymore. Garbage. Listen, we breathe his air. We're alive because he allows us to be. It's all because of his grace. Listen, but these people said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." Can I tell you, the same spirit, the same attitude is in the world today?
Right.
It's prevalent. It's raging out of control. It's just like how Pharaoh said to Moses when Moses goes up to Pharaoh the first time and said, "Hey, the Lord God of Israel said, let my people go." You know what Pharaoh said? "Who is the Lord that I should obey him? You expect me to listen to him? Who is he?" Woo! You talk about disrespect. You talk about mock. You talk about mistreatment. And guys, I was reading this recently. This is Isaiah 52 and verse number 5. And at the end of the verse, it says, "And my name," God's name, "continually, every day is blasphemed." That means to drag it through the mud. That means to slander it. Listen, guys, this happens all the time. And you say, why is this? Why don't the Lord just wipe them out? Why don't he just punish them? Why don't he just defeat them once and for all? Can I tell you, he will one day. But for right now, he is meek and lowly at heart. He came as the Lamb of God, meek and gentle and mild the first time. But the second time he comes back, which is what we're reading in Revelation 19, he's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming to judge, to punish, and to defeat all wickedness. And guys, what we're reading in Revelation 19 is called the Battle of Armageddon. It is the final big battle at the end of the tribulation period. I'm trying to think of what I want to do here. I'm going to put this up real fast, but I got to roll with this because I don't have much time. I'm already getting behind. All right. I know that's a little slanted, but don't worry about it. Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. We are in the middle of what's called the church age right now. I'm just going to put church so you know that. This is where we are right now. What's the next event that's going to happen in the future?
The rapture.
The rapture of the church. So this group of people, which we are a part of, okay, this is this time in history. This started at Acts 2. It will end at the rapture. Now, let me ask you. At the rapture, does Jesus come back all the way to the earth? No. Good, Nathan. Very good. He stops in the clouds and he calls his people, his children, us, out of here. That's the rapture of the church. And we'll be a part of that. You say, when could that happen? At any moment. It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. By the way, guys, this is the reason you need to live for God. All right? If you're a child of God, you should live for him every single day. After the rapture takes place and the Christians are out of here, soon thereafter, it'll start a period of 7 years known as the 7-year tribulation period. All right? 7-year trib. This is what goes on in the middle of it. The abomination of desolation. I'm not going to get all bogged down in that. At the end of the 7-year tribulation period, this is when the Antichrist takes over. All the judgments will be inflicted upon the earth. It's going to be a really, really terrible time. The worst suffering that ever has been will be during this time. At the end, Christ actually comes back to the earth and touches his feet on the ground, and he'll be here. When that happens, I have it jet out like this, because it's called the Battle of Armageddon. When he gets back, this is what we're talking about today. So if you understand, this is what's going on. When we talk about Christ's second coming, sometimes we're kind of fuzzy with our terms. This is actually technically what we're talking about, when he returns to the earth. The rapture, different event. He never comes all the way to the earth at that point. Questions on that? Good. All right. Awesome. Guys, this is the Battle of Armageddon that we're winning, or that we're reading here, that we're reading here in Revelation 19. Okay? And that's what happens. Guys, can I tell you though, for us, listen, we often get weary of the wickedness we see all around us, right? Listen, guys, it frustrates me. It gets me angry. I get pretty riled up sometimes about it. And listen, I get frustrated of how Christ is disdained by people. He's treated very lowly. Listen, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the Lord, but he's treated as trash by many people in the world. Can I also say, we can throw stones at the world all we want to. And I'm going to mention some of these things today. I'm not going to omit those. But can I also tell you, Christians should treat Christ with honor, with respect, with exaltation. You should honor him every single day. Yeah. Listen, this is not respectful to the Lord.
Right.
When you can't even open his book, when you don't live for him, when people don't come to church, or Kevin, it's the flip of a coin whether I feel like I'll show up or not. He died for you. You'd be in burning in hell right now, and so would I if not for Jesus Christ, if not for him taking our place on that cross and suffering what he didn't have to, but he did because he loved us.
Yeah.
He should be treated, guys, he should be treated special. He should be treated with honor, with respect, with exaltation in our lives. By the way, are you treating him with respect right now? Are you tuned on? Not to me. Not to me. You should have respect for other men, men of God, but you should be tuned in. Why? Because Jesus is speaking from his word. That's why you should be sitting up in your chair. That's why your Bible should be open. That's why I encourage you to take notes. Not because what I say is important, but what God says from his word is vital for you to live for God. So we should respect him. But can I tell you, he's disrespected by some so-called Christian, but he's certainly deeply disrespected by many in the world. Guys, listen, most people in the world, they'll cuss if they want to. If they want to sleep around, they'll do it. If they want to drink, and it's my body, I can do what I want to. I can drink, I can smoke, I can go to the clubs, I can go to the parties, I can shoot up, I can do whatever I want to do. And they act like they are God of their lives. Guys, that's frustrating. Makes me angry. I was listening to a thing. It was a little bit old, but just a couple months ago. But it was talking about all the Equality Act and all these laws. Do you know in our Congress, in our Senate, in fact, in our Senate, guys, that they're talking about it? And one guy read portions of the Bible when they're trying to say that we should allow teenagers to have this surgery to so-called switch to another gender. He read the Bible and said, this is not what God intended. He made male and female. And you know what? Some guy standing up, Nadler, I think is his name, a Democrat from, I think, California, if I'm not mistaken. You know what he got up? He paused the guy and stopped him and said this. Sir, whatever any religious tradition and so-called God's will is no concern of this Congress. You know what he's saying? We don't want it. We don't want God telling us what to do. We don't want him in charge. We don't want him directing our lives, directing our laws, directing our country. You can shove him out. We don't care about him. And can I tell you, when I heard that, it's burning on the inside. I don't like that.
Yeah.
But guys, is Jesus in charge of your life? Listen, just because you say you love the Lord doesn't mean you prove it by how you live. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right. We live in the day and age where people want to talk, but they don't want to live it.
Yeah.
That's why our class is called Walk the Walk. Because we want you to live it out in your life. Not just say it. We want you to live it. Listen, but it bothers me, it upsets me how Christ is disdained by people. But can I tell you something? Don't worry, God hasn't forgotten to punish sin. In 2 Peter 3:9, this is a really important verse for you to know. Even if you don't turn there now, you should write it down for future reference. The Bible says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Now, time out. After you wrote that down, time out and look up here. When the Bible says the Lord is not slack, slack means lazy, forgetful. He wasn't doing his job. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. His promise there in 2 Peter 3, pay attention. His promise there is to judge. It's not to save, it's not to heal, it's not to give peace. It's to judge. It's to bring the hammer down on sin. The Bible says God is not slack concerning his promise. His promise to judge, to bring the hammer down on sin. But the rest of the verse says, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. You know what the verse is saying, guys? God hasn't forgotten to judge sin. God's not okay with it. God hasn't accepted it. He's still holy. He's still righteous. He's still just. He's still true. Listen, these things that he calls an abomination, they still are today. God hasn't changed his rules or his laws, even though our country has changed their rules and laws. Listen, God hasn't changed those things. He hasn't forgotten about it. He hasn't slipped off his schedule or slipped by him, slipped his mind in any way. And can I also tell you this? God is not too scared to pull the trigger on his judgment.
Right.
God's not over there saying, ooh, this is heavy. And it is heavy. This is going to hurt people. And it will hurt people. This is going to be hard on people and harsh on people. He's not scared to do it.
Yeah.
He's at the controls. He's calm. He's cool. He's collected. He knows what he's doing. And he's in charge. But can I tell you guys, the reason he hasn't pressed the button on judgment is to give more people a chance to be saved.
Right.
He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all comes to repentance. Because guys, when he presses the button, when the rapture takes place, the 7-year tribulation period starts, people are going to die, people are going to get hurt. Listen, and the chances to be saved will dwindle down to almost nothing. Mm-hmm. They can still be saved in the tribulation. Don't get me wrong, some people will. The 144,000, the two witnesses, and so forth. But guys, people are going to be dying every day in a much greater rate, a much greater intensity than anything this world has ever seen. This is what's going to happen. He's not, it hasn't slipped his mind. He's not scared, but he's giving people a chance. Kevin, he's standing there. He's ready. He's ready to press the button. He's ready to deliver the arsenal, but he's waiting. Why? Because we're waiting for one more soul to get saved. We're waiting for that person we're praying for to get saved. And by the way, guys, we need to get a kick in our pants and go give out tracts and go witness to people and go live like children of God before it's too late. Because one of these days, we're out of here.
Yeah.
And there'll be no more soul winning, no Thursday night, no visiting, no giving out tracts. It'll all be gone in a thing of the past. It hasn't slipped his mind, and he's not scared to pull the trigger. But can I tell you, we must remain firm in our perspective and our passion. The world does mistreat him, guys. But listen, here's the message. Don't get it mistaken. They may beat him down, Kevin, in their supposed comments and their snarky remarks and their ridicule of him. And they may make fun of us for all the things that we do differently than them. But don't you get it mistaken, young man. Jesus wins.
Amen.
And that's what I want to preach on today. Jesus wins. I want to be fast as I can with this. Point number one, the coming to punish. Listen, guys, again, this is this event. He's coming to lay the hammer down on this world. By the way, I want you guys to know this. I'm just going to say this in passing, but I do want you to grab a hold of this. There are two main purposes for the 7-year tribulation period, okay? Number one is the salvation of Israel, for God to refocus again on his nation of Israel. God hasn't forgotten them. God hasn't cast them off. Many will be saved during this time. The second purpose is to punish the world for their sin. All right? Revelation 6 through 18 here in 19 is the tribulation period. And guys, it is, again, the worst time of suffering that ever has been in the entire world's history. But there's a coming to punish. I want you to notice verse number 11, all right? We're in Revelation 19, verse number 11. This is what we're talking about. Jesus wins. Let's get into this. Verse number 11. The Bible says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." The coming to punish. Listen, when Jesus came the first time, why did he come?
To get souls saved and die on the cross.
That's right. Exactly right. To save souls. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came the first time. The first time he came to save, the second time he's coming with a sword. He's meaning business. He's coming to punish. I want you to see, first of all, the captivating sighting, verse number 11. It says, "And I saw heaven open." Can you imagine this? John, the Apostle John, is writing all this down in the book of Revelation as God's giving him these visions. All right? But it's as if he looks up and Kevin, the heavens open up and he sees Jesus coming out. What? That's a captivating sight. Guys, can I tell you, we're not looking for this event. We're looking for the rapture. Yeah. But can I tell you, any one of these days, the trumpet can blow and we can be out of here. We're not going to be on the earth during the tribulation period. We'll be in heaven. But John says, "When I saw what was going on, heaven opened up and here came Jesus," the captivating sight. And then I want you to see the conquering symbol. It says that Jesus came out of heaven and what was he riding? Got to look at your Bibles, guys.
White horse.
White horse. Very good. When Jesus came the first time, he rode into Jerusalem. Do you remember the animal that he rode in on?
Donkey.
A donkey. You know what the donkey symbolizes? Peace.
Yeah.
Peace. You know what the white horse, a horse symbolizes? War. And a white horse means conquering. The victorious side. He's using this conquering symbol. He's riding on a white horse. That's the war horse. He's coming to take care of business. He's coming to drop the hammer. He's coming to deal with sin and wickedness and perversion and vileness and filthiness. He's coming to take care of business, guys. Listen, he's not just riding on a white horse because it looks nice.
Yeah.
This has a picture. This has a symbol, a representation of it. And he says, "I am coming on this white horse. The first time I came in peace, Now I'm coming in war. Wow. Guys.
You say, but Tom, why are you preaching this? Because I don't want us to forget who we're talking to when we pray.
Amen.
Sometimes we get so casual and so chill and so slang and what's up, Lord? No, he ain't what's up, Lord. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, you need to respect him and honor him and exalt him and lift him up in your life. Listen, when you talk to him, you should talk humbly. You should say, Lord, I don't even deserve to be alive right now. I don't even deserve to talk to you. I don't deserve your mercy, your grace, your salvation, but you've been good to me, Lord. Guys, we need to remember who that is. I don't mean that you should be scared to pray and that it keeps you from praying, but guys, realize who you're talking to.
Right.
Sometimes, Kevin, we're so casual with reading the Bible.
Am I going to read my Bible or watch TV?
Can I tell you, get the watching TV out of your mind. That's right. Not even important. Yeah. This should be the priority. The King of Kings is talking to you.
Amen.
We gotta up our game, guys. The conquering symbol. He's coming on a war horse. And it says, he that set upon him was called faithful and true. Can I tell you, this is referring to Christ our Savior. There are three identifications here. It says he's called faithful and true. Let me stop and say this one. Faithful and true just means that he is always faithful. He's never off duty. He's never off guard. He's never left his post. Aren't you glad about that, guys? That when you're struggling, when you're in sin, when your guilt is beating you down, when you go to the Lord, he's on duty. He's on watch. He's on guard. He's there to hear your prayers. And whether it's 3 in the afternoon or 3 in the morning, you go to God. He's listening and he'll forgive your sins. He's faithful and he's true. Kevin, every single thing he says is always true.
Right.
You can mark it down. You can take it to the bank. It's more important than what our Congress says and what our president says and what the senators say. When Jesus speaks, it's always true. He cannot lie.
Yeah.
So you can build your life on it. It's Christ our Savior. So he's faithful and true. Notice at the end of verse number 13, if you would, it says it was dipped in blood and his name is called the Word of God. And then at the end of verse 16, it refers to him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Guys, don't get it mistaken. This is referring to Jesus Christ and him alone. Kevin, I don't see Buddha in the passage. I don't see Allah in the passage. I don't see Muhammad in the passage. Mary didn't show up here. She's in the Bible, but certainly not in this passage. It's not talking about someone else, some religious guru. It's only talking about our Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the way, let's not get it mistaken. We can fall into the trap that many in the world does. And listen, Jesus is loving. Thank God for that. He's forgiving. Thank God for that. He's merciful. He's gracious. Yes, yes, yes. He's patient. Yes. But guys, he is also a God of judgment, a God that hates sin, a God that's holy. And don't you forget it, young man, and don't you forget it, Brother Tom. It's important.
Yeah.
That we respect him for who he is. He's not okay with your sin. He's not okay with your cuss words. He's not okay with you talking dirty and degrading women with how you talk and looking them all over and lusting after every body part that they have. He's not okay with that. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. And don't you forget who you're dealing with.
Amen.
He is our Savior. Thank God he loved us. Listen, we would have been in hell if not for him.
Right.
But he's also holy. By the way, guys, that's why he had to die, because he's holy. God was not okay with sin. Do you realize there was no other way for you to get to heaven? He had to punish sin. And thank God Jesus took your place, took that punishment. Now he can give you the gift of eternal life and allow you entrance into heaven. But it's Christ our Savior. He's faithful. He's true. He's the Word of God. That comes up in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Listen, guys. In John 1, when it's talking about in the beginning was the Word, we're not talking about the Bible. We're talking about Jesus, the living Word. Listen, the Word means that he's the expression of God. He is everything that God is expressed in human form. Colossians 2:9 says he is all the fullness of the Godhead dwell in him bodily. He is God wrapped in a body. That's who Jesus is. He's coming to punish. The captivating sight, the conquering symbol. It's Christ our Savior. And guys, I want to hurry up my pace, but I want you to notice this at the end of verse number 11. His concentration is serious. Verse number 11 at the end. Faithful and true and in righteousness, what does it say? He doth judge and make war. Jesus means business.
Yeah.
He's not playing around. Thank God that he healed people. But in this passage, he ain't healing people.
Right.
Thank God that he fed multitudes. But he's not feeding multitudes here. He's coming to judge and to make war. Kevin, the Bible doesn't give us too many indications. I'll read something in a minute.
But it doesn't give us a full picture of what his face looked like, but I think it's meaning business.
Oh, yeah.
Meaning business. The next phrase of verse 12, though, does give some indication. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Guys, his eyes penetrate through. They see everything. They see your motives. They see why you do what you do. It penetrates down. It gets down to really what's going on in your heart and in the core of your being. The concentration that's serious. As I said earlier, the first time he came to save, this time he's coming with a sword. And notice verse number 14. The company of saints and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You know who that is? He's mentioned, but it talks about another group with him. Who is that? Verse number 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Some people would think it's angels. I don't believe it is.
Is it us?
Yes, sir. You say, I'm in the Bible? Yep. Verse number 14. There you go. That's you. Listen, that's us. Those that have been taken up in the rapture. We're in heaven with the Lord. When he comes back at the Battle of Armageddon, we're following him riding white horses too.
Bling, bling.
Yeah, bring it on. Listen, and you say, what are we going to be doing? We going to get in the battle? No, you're going to mess it up if you get in the battle. You're just going to be hanging back and saying, yeah, I'm on his team. Beat him up, Jesus. Bam, bam. Yeah, that's what you get. Brother Kitty says, talking bad and doing nothing. That's what we're going to be doing, all right? Get him! You say, well, I want to get in the battle. Like I said, you'd mess it up if you did, all right? And so would I. The company of saints, that's you. You are right there. Listen, when he comes back, he's coming with the armies of heaven. They'll be riding on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Yes, if you go back to the other chapter or earlier in the chapter, it shows us that those are church-age saints, not angels. I don't have time to read it. If you're interested later, talk to me. But not now, all right? And he has a consuming sword. Verse number 15. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron and tread at the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. The conquering, the consuming sword. Listen, guys. The Bible says when he comes back, he's going to have a sword and he's going to wipe out the nations that have assembled there. We'll get into the details in a few moments. You know what the sword is? It's his word. It says the sword comes out of his mouth. Don't get some weird pictures in your mind. It's talking about he's speaking forth. If he had enough power to create the world, the universe, by his word, don't you think he has enough power with his word to destroy people?
Of course.
You say, why would Jesus do that? I thought he loved people. He does. He's given them so many chances, and they said, nope, swat him away. Flick him off. I don't need you, Lord. I'm going to run my own life. I'm going to do my own thing. Can I tell you, he's not okay with that. He's patient. He doesn't slam you down when you deserve it. He's patient. But guys, one day, this judgment is coming.
Right.
The coming to punish. Point number two. This is going to strike you guys weird.
What?
Point number two. Catering is provided. Told you. Tried to warn you. The coming to punish. Point number one. Point number two. Catering is provided. You're like, can you explain? Are we going to have Chick-fil-A nugget trays, you know, while we're watching Jesus beat down the world? What are we going to do here? Not exactly. Verse number 17. Verse number 17, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together under the supper of the great God. Talk about gory. Here we go. Verse number 18, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Catering is provided. You know, that angel gets up there and he calls out to all the birds from all over the world. And he says, guys, you might want to come. I'm ringing the dinner bell. You might want to come over here to the Valley of Megiddo here in Israel, because there's about to be a beatdown and there is flesh for you to eat. Catering is provided. He rings the dinner bell. He's a top of brightness. He says he stands in the sun. Wow. And then the announcement is blared out. He says with a loud voice, and he's calling to all the birds. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet, just for birds, not for you, all right? And then the assortment is big. Guys, verse number 18, he says, birds, you come. Gather yourself to the great supper of the great God. And then when you come, here's what's provided at the buffet. If you want to eat the flesh of kings, there it is. If you want the flesh of captains, you don't like kings, the meat is too tough. You go for captains, all right? You can go for them. You can go for mighty men. You can go for weak men. If you don't like human meat, go for the horses. There'll be plenty of dead horses there too. And of them that sat on them, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, small and great. You want fat meat? Over there. Skinny meat? Over there. Different colors. You talk about Black Lives Matter. All lives gonna be eaten right there. All right. Every life. Some of you are like, can you say that? Yeah, I just did. It's all right. All nations gonna be there. Catering is provided. The coming to punish. The catering is provided. Point number three. The conflict proceeds. Verse number 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. The conflict proceeds. Point number three. The assembled armies, guys, listen, all these people have gathered into Israel. And in Zechariah 14, verses 2 and 3, it says, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the woman ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall be cut off from the city. Then the Lord shall go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. It says that all these nations will be gathered. Verse number 19 says the beast. The beast there is talking about the Antichrist. Okay? This is a human being that Satan has raised up to take over the world, basically. He will be the leader of the world, especially over in Europe. I'm not trying to get all deep into this, but that's who it is when verse 19 says, I saw the beast, the Antichrist. And he's going to be leading all these people, and they're going to be fighting there in the Valley of Megiddo, the assembled armies. And what are they doing? They're trying to make war against him that sat upon the horse. You know who that is? Jesus. They're making war against him. They see him coming, and they start turning their weapons on him. They're against the Almighty. Can I tell you, it's absolutely absurd, though. They have no defense. They have no resistance. None of their weapons will work against him. None of this stuff will make any bit of impact or difference on our Lord Jesus Christ. His power far supersedes anything their technology or their satanic power can come up with. It is futile. It is empty. It's nothing that it can do against our Lord. So, point number one, the coming to punish. Point number two, the catering is provided. The birds are like, bring it on, all right? Point number three, the conflict proceeds. This is when the battle really gets hot and heavy. And last, point number four, the conquering that's powerful. The conquering that's powerful. Now notice, they turn all their weapons on him and against his army. They're going to be coming after us too. Verse number 20, and the beast, who's that referring to? Good. The Antichrist was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Woo! The conquering that's powerful. Guys, there will be a fiery end to the leaders. The leaders are the Antichrist, the devil's man that he's raised up. The first 3.5 years, he'll be a savvy politician. He'll be a smooth talker. He'll gain the kingdom by flatteries. Halfway point of the tribulation, the mask comes off, and he says, I am your God. He's not God, but he's trying to take the place of God. That's called the abomination of desolation. He goes to their temple and does that, disgraces it. From that point on, his mask comes out, comes off, and you see who he really is. His true colors come out. But there will be a fiery end. Kevin, I like this. It doesn't say that the Lord struggled with him or that they waged battle for days and weeks and months and years. No, it says, verse number 20, the beast was taken. It's almost like bad kids getting involved with something. The parrot comes by, get over here. The Lord says, okay, enough of you. False prophet, you too. By the way, the devil is going to be into religion big time. He already is. Yeah. He already is into false religion, but he's going to be big time into it in the tribulation period. So the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. There's a religious guy that would do miracles and do all kinds of signs and wonders and get people to believe in the beast, which deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshiped the image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And if I'm reading you guys correctly, some of you may be thinking, well, what about the devil? Glad you asked. Chapter 20, verse number 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Listen, guys. Right after this event takes place, the Lord, before the next event starts, which is the millennium, he binds up Satan for 1,000 years. And then if you go down, you're in chapter 20, go to verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Somebody better say amen to that. Amen. The devil's going down forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
By the way, guys, he's not going to be in charge of hell. He's going to be tormented in hell there, the lake of fire, forever and ever, day and night. Bam. Listen, he beats us up with sin. He beats us up with discouragement. He beats us up with all kinds of trials and difficulties and makes things hard for us. Can I tell you, for all the rest of eternity, things are going to be hard for him, because he's going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. The fiery end of the leaders. I'm going to read this verse out of 2 Thessalonians. And then shall that wicked be revealed, talking about the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan and all power and signs and lying wonders. So the fiery end of the leaders, and then the finishing off of the lost. Verse number 21. The remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which proceeded out of his mouth. The finishing off of the lost. Listen. So you have the leadership, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan done away with and thrown into the lake of fire eventually. And then you have the finishing off of the lost. These are all those armies and nations that have assembled and put their opposition against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Zechariah 14:12. You guys should write this down, look this up. This is what's going to happen. I know we dealt with some of it, and the blood and the guts and the birds eating and all this, and we're like, whoa, you think that blew your socks off. Hold on to your seats, all right? Zechariah 14:12. This shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Get this. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. When he comes down, guys, and all these people are trying to battle against him and use their so-called powerful weapons against him, the Bible says while they stand upon their feet, the flesh is going to run off. And while they're there, their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. You say, Brother Tom, what do you think that's talking about? I think when he comes down, some of them, we know the flesh will still be there for the birds. But for some of them, guys, he's going to vaporize them like they never existed. That's how much power he has. You say, that's scary. Guys, thank God that you're on his side. Thank God that you're not going against him. By the way, if you're not saved, this is coming on the unbelievers.
Yeah.
So I suggest get saved soon, amen, immediately. And if you're a Christian, but you're kind of jumping back from side to side, get on his team. Get committed to his team. Listen, people should know that you belong to him. You say, Jesus is not popular now. I get that. One day he'll be the only thing.
Right.
The fiery end of leaders, the finishing off of the lost. And then once again, the birds pop up at the end of verse 21, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. They're filled with lots of flesh. Listen, guys. Again, you say, why are we talking about this? All the blood and the guts and all this kind of stuff. Guys, because right now in the world, Jesus is stomped on, trampled on, pushed out of the way, shoved aside. I don't need that track. I don't need your church. I don't need your Bible. I don't need your morality. I don't need you telling me what to do. I don't want it. Okay, that's your choice. But one day, you need to remember this, that one day he's coming back, and when he does, he wins. There's no question about it. Hey, guys, and if he's going to win then, why don't you let him win in your life now? Let him win in your life now. Listen, we don't have time to deal with it, but I really wonder what kind of music you listen to. Does it sound like his music? I wonder when you talk to your parents, does it sound like he wants you to talk to your parents? I wonder this week the kind of attitude you display. Does it fit with those that are on Jesus' team? Let's work at this. Because, Kevin, if we don't watch it, the world can trample down our Savior so much that we start to buy into a little of that. We're not as bad as they are. And we can talk about the perversion, and we can talk about the confusing the genders. And, guys, all of it is wicked. It's out of hell. Listen, it's terrible that little kids think, well, I don't know what I am anymore. God made you a certain way. And once he made you that way, you don't change.
Right.
No matter what you think or you come up with or what medicine you take, you are still what God created you to be, and you always will be.
Yeah.
Listen,
things can get so crazy around us that we get frustrated, we get angry, and sometimes we think, is it even worth it anymore? Boy, I'm glad you showed up to church today. Because maybe somebody needed to be reminded, Jesus wins.
Right.
And I don't care what they say, and I don't care what our stupid Congress says, and what these politicians that go against God and have no clue about right and wrong anymore. I don't care what they say. Listen, if they cuss him in my neighborhood, I should tell them, hey, keep your mouth shut. Don't talk about my Savior like that. And we should get off tracks, even when they tear them up, even when they throw them back at us, and when they slam the door in our faces. We should stand for him, because one day he's coming back, and we'll be out of here in the rapture. But at his second coming, at the Battle of Armageddon, he's bringing the hammer down. And when he comes back, he wins.
Right.
So let him be triumphant in your life right now. Don't wait till then. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But you know what, Kevin? I'm not waiting for that day.
Right.
I'm going to start right now. Amen. Say, Lord, you're my Savior. You're my Master. You're my Lord. What you tell me to do with your strength, I'm going to try to do. Guys, Jesus wins. Don't ever forget that. Listen, he's mocked in the music nowadays, in the movies nowadays. We talked about the TV a month or so ago. Listen, all these things he's beat on, pounded on, pounded on. Okay, for now, that's what they get to do. This is their time in history. But one day the tables are going to turn.
Right.
And when they do, everyone will see Jesus wins. Let him be the conqueror in your life right now. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for these guys, Lord. God, we want our perspectives to be strong, Lord. We want to know who you are and have a firm belief in the truth of the Bible. God, what we talked about today, it's true. It always will be true. And God, it's going to happen one day. Lord, help us to have a proper perspective and stay firm on it. Lord, it makes me mad how people push you down and shove you aside today, and they want nothing. The Bible talks about they don't even want to retain God in their knowledge. They want to forget everything about you. They wish the Bible didn't exist. They wish all churches were shut down. They wish all Christians would shut up. And God, we feel that pressure. But God, one day, this event's going to take place, and there's no question about it, about who wins. You do, and you always do. Help us, God, right now to stay faithful and loyal to you and to stand for you and realize this will happen no matter how dark things get, no matter how far off our country gets off track. You still win. Help us to hold on to that and never relinquish it. Guys, no one looking around real quick. Is there somebody say, Brother Tom, I needed that. I needed that reminder. Jesus wins. He always will. And I want to stay firm. I don't want to get weak in my commitment. I don't want to get disloyal. And I don't know if I need this anymore. I'm kind of halfway in, halfway out. No. He wins. I'm on board with him. I'm all in on his team. If that's you, would you raise your hand? God spoke to me today. I need to work on specific things in my life. Good, guys. Good. Now, what do you need to do about it today? Tomorrow, this week. Hey, we talked about reading your Bible. If you're on Jesus' team, get in his word. That's how he strengthens you. That's how he feeds you. That's how he keeps that fire burning bright in your life. That's how you can have the strength to live for him. Get in his word. Get on your knees. Start giving out those tracts. Listen, hey, can we be honest? A lot of this stuff is scary that we're reading about. You say, yeah, but I'm not going to be involved in it. But some of the people you know will. Right? Listen, they'll go to hell. They'll be in that lake of fire. Who knows, maybe some could last to these events that we're talking about. But listen, if there's people in your family, your neighborhood, people in your school, you know they're not saved. Listen, this stuff is going to happen. Let's reach them now. Let's reach them now before it's too late. Does anybody say, I don't know for sure I'm saved. When I die, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. But I know I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that? Lord, thank you again for these guys. I love them. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the certainty and the truth of it. Help us not to waver. Help us not to get weak. And wimpy and say, I don't know if I can stand for God anymore. Lord, we don't have any strength, but you have all strength. And you can give us what we need. Please help us to trust in you, your grace, to supply and to strengthen us. And help us to stand strong to the finish line. Lord, we don't know individually whether we'll be here for the rapture or whether we'll die before that. But God, all these events will happen. And Lord, help us to stay faithful and loyal to you to the end. And Lord, thank you that we're on the winning team. We're on your team. And God, you're so good to us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.